Good afternoon and happy Sabbath, Remembrancers. Just to confirm, I would like to ask everybody if they can put the thumbs up if you can hear me clearly. Okay, great. All right, the Wi-Fi is a little playing with us a little bit because we were lost also in the opening prayer. But now we are found, lost then found, not lost and found. So once again, happy Sabbath, Remembrancers, from here in Hong Kong to the Philippines, Australia, Kenya, and America. Miracles. What are or is a miracle? We have heard all about it, stretching from the Bible stories, from Noah, from Noah's flood, to the Red Sea opening, from to the Israelites to escape, to the turning of the sun, for King Hezekiah to live 15 more years. And as you have seen or read, miracles in the Bible are done in all different kinds of situations, in all different kinds of elements. Miracles of water, for example. Some of it, as you may know, of the Red Sea. That's a miracle of water where the Israelites pass through to escape from the chariots of Pharaoh. Another example of a miracle of water is when Christ turning water into wine. And that's recorded in John 2. John 2, 1 to 11. You can just read that by your own. Miracles of earth or rock. Remember what happened when God told Moses to speak gently to the rock for the thirsty Israelites to drink? But instead of Moses speaking gently to it, he struck the rock instead, and water soon flowed out. Let's go to Numbers 20. Numbers 20, let's just read the verse 1. Numbers 20, verse 1. Then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Zin in the first month. And the people abode in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there. And there was no water for the congregation. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. So the Israelites were complaining that there is no water. They are thirsty. They went against the people of God, Moses and Aaron. Continuing on verse 3. And the people called with Moses and spake, saying, Would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Eternal. And why have you brought up the congregation of the Eternal into the wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there? And wherefore have you made us to come up out of Egypt and to bring us in unto this evil place? And it is no place of seed or of figs or of vines or of pomegranates, neither is there any water to drink. So they're all complaining about this different kinds of stuff. They're complaining about food. There's nothing here. There's no leaves. Everything is desert. Everything is dry. Everything is dead. Continuing on verse 6. And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And they fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Eternal appeared unto them. Verse 7, And the Eternal spake unto Moses, saying, Take the rod, and gather you the assembly together, you and Aaron your brother, and speak you unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and you shall bring forth to them water out of the rock, so you shall give the congregation and their beasts drink. So here God commanded Moses to speak gently to the rock, so that water may gush out. Continuing in verse 9, And Moses took the rod from before the Eternal, and he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregations together before the rock, and he said unto them, Hear now, you rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and his rod, when with his rod he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregations drank, and their beasts also. So here, as you can see, God commanded, gave instructions to Moses to speak gently into the rock so that water may gush out. But instead, he was angry to the people. Now, we all know that it may have been said that Moses has some kind of Moses had some kind of anger issues. And instead of speaking gently to the rock, the miracle still happened when he had to strike the rock twice. It was not just once, but twice. Because he said here, "Oh, you rebels, must we fetch your water out of this rock?" So he was angry and disobeyed God's orders. So despite Moses disobeying God's command to speak to the rock gently, the miracle of water pouring out of the rock would have still be flown out if he would have gently spoken to it. But God later had to punish Moses for his disobedience. I won't touch so much on that one right now. I'll probably talk about that one a little later. And another example of this miracle are when the rock miracle or the earth miracle are when the 12 tribes, 12 rocks where Jacob's head was sleeping. On that, on the rock, and that became one rock after he woke up and dreamt about the angels walking up and down the heavenly stairs. Another element of miracle, miracle of fire. An example of this is when Elijah had to go against the prophets of Baal. Well, I won't read all the stories, and I guess many of us know how the story goes already. You can just read it through 1 Kings 18, where Elijah challenged them to pray to their god Baal to light a fire on their meat and altar. But their pagan god didn't. But when Elijah did his part to light the fire on his altar, he told the people to fill 4 jugs, huge jugs of water, and poured it upon his altar, and did it again 2 more times. Then when he prayed to God, the God of the Hebrew, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and he poured it upon his altar, and when he prayed to God to light the fire, God rained down fire heavenly fire, then burned the meat and altar down to the ground till they were nothing but dust. That's one example. Another example of a fire miracle that could be seen in the Bible stories is the burning bush of Exodus, where when you can touch it, you won't get burned, and neither was the fire burning the bush. You can see that in Exodus 3. If you read Exodus 3 verse 1, it says here, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro." His father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. Verse 2, "And the angel of the Eternal appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will not turn aside and see this great sight." Why the bush is not burnt? It's a mystery. You never seen something like that one. Even Mr. Armstrong would say, I remember Mr. Armstrong said in one of his sermons, if he can see a fire like that nowadays, a bush that burns forever, a fire that burns forever, energy that's unlimited, then he can make a business out of it. You know, Mr. Armstrong, he's a very business-like minded person. So if he finds something like that one, you know, he can use it as an advantage for his business. So continuing on in verse 4, "And when the Eternal saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush, the burning bush, and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I." So here, these are just many examples all throughout the Bible that miracles can happen. But what is a miracle? Now, the two witnesses have discussed a huge amount of it, a lot of amount of it, when talking about the quantum realm, on how God, through science, the quantum realm, have formed the universe in different fields. But what is a miracle and how can it be achieved? According to Google, according to the definition that's given by that website, a miracle is an extraordinary and welcome event that is not explicable by nature, natural, or scientific laws, and is therefore attributed to a divine agency. It's attributed to a divine agency. Not explicable by natural or scientific laws, or that's what human beings only know. They haven't known yet, of course, the revelations of the quantum realm. That's part of science, of course. We know God can create miracles and only according to his will that he performs it. So how do we achieve them? Miracles can happen during our most desperate times and according to God's will, right? So how does one achieve it? Miracles happen when you believe in God and his will. Sounds easy, right? You could also say it might be a cliche. It is through faith to expect miracles. Notice that. Through faith to expect miracles. James 1 verse 6. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Verse 7. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the eternal. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Lukewarm. There is an article also entitled Expect Miracles, written by Ron Fraser. I'll just quote from this article. It says, this is why so many people are not the recipient of God's miracle. They doubt. They doubt God. They doubt his apostle. They doubt his government. They doubt the source of all truth, the very word of God. By contrast, Gerald Flurry declares of the Philadelphians, still reading from the article, comparing them to Elisha's students who witnessed God's many miracles. God has given the church so many miracles. I believe that with our increased understanding, God holds us more accountable than he did those students of Elisha, especially during this time, brethren. When time passes by, especially in this last end, we should expect a lot of miracles coming from God. They didn't have near the truth, continuing reading from the article, they didn't have near the truth that we have. God has opened so many doors for this work. Mr. Flurry then clearly articulates the reason why the Philadelphians are the recipients of God's miracles. Realize if you're loyal to God and submit to his government, he will perform miracles for you, great and small. Both great and small. Any place where you find God's family government, you will find many inspiring miracles. If you're backing God's work, you can expect miracles because they will happen. So if we are looking for miracles, brethren, we should be seeing a lot of it right now, especially during this troublous times. In the condition of the church, in the condition of Mr. Gerald Flurry, in the condition of the world as well, as we are in this pandemic times. It's just a physical and spiritual matter that we are in, that we need to understand about how to perform these miracles. We should be expecting a lot more now than before, because we are nearing to Christ's marriage. But there is one particular miracle that I really want to discuss. And I notice this is a sermonette only. So I think this is just going to be an introduction. I'm going to be giving a sermon soon again, but then I think I'll be saving it, some of it, But there is this one particular miracle that I really want to discuss, brethren, and that I might be putting it in my next message as well. But this is the miracle of the axe, recorded in 2 Kings chapter 6, where the student of God had had to build a school. And you can go ahead and read 2 Kings 6. Chapter six, but I will not. But I will save that for part two of the sermon soon, because not only was there a miracle that happened in that chapter, but an attitude that we should have when performing such miracles. There's a particular attitude that is shown there. This little story in 2 Kings verse 6 about a student. That we are building God's school. We are learning how to be teachers. And there's a certain kind of attitude that we should be having in order to perform miracles. Many of us know about the miracle of the axe. And there, as just to give a brief introduction, this is where the student was swinging his axe to cut the tree, to cut wood. But then when he swung it, hit the head of the axe, the iron itself, the blade itself went into the water. And you know, iron, it doesn't, it's heavy. It's a really heavy material, and it doesn't float on the surface of the water. But then instead, it went down, all the way down to the floor, which is not visible to be seen anymore. But then when, well, I won't say that much anymore. But I will be saving that one for the second message. So consider this as a sermonette introduction, or an introduction sermonette, or whatever. You get the point. But I will be saving that up for part two of the message. So brethren, I'll just stop right here. And if you'd like a title of this message, please write down Miracle of the Axe, part one. Happy Sabbath.